Now then, we move on to gadgets. We've chatted entertainment. We're going to talk gadgets now with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp, who is on Twitter, the gadget detective, if you want to check him out. Morning to you, Fevzi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, I think. You know, it's quite nice being in work on a Saturday, and I'm learning lots entertainment-wise, and I don't mind admitting I'm going to learn tons now gadget-wise because I know nothing about tech news and gadgets and things. So shall we start with tech news?
Yeah, and I promise I will be gentle. So, the big announcement this week was that Apple announced a bunch of new products. Probably most interesting to some would have been the new version of their Apple Watch, which is the smartwatch. It's now in the sixth generation. And it seems that with every generation, they're developing it more into a sort of health monitoring thing. So it was already able to do a sort of a basic ECG to see if you had any sort of arrhythmias going on. But the new one now can measure the level of oxygen in your blood. And it can even do it when you're asleep, which is kind of good news because, for example, a lot of people have got, say, sleep apnea where they sort of sporadically stop sleeping. Breathing at night, you know, their oxygen levels drop. So this would be a way of, just at least suspecting that there may be a problem because people who sleep on their own, for example, don't know that they've got sleep apnea and it's quite a dangerous condition potentially. So
yeah,
it does that. There's a new version of the Apple Watch called the Apple Watch SE, which is a sort of cut-down version. It doesn't have all the health bells and whistles on it, but it's £269, whereas the Series 6 starts at 379, so that's new. That's sort of a new entry level. So you're starting to see these watches becoming more affordable or less unaffordable, let's say, and more mainstream. New versions of the iPad and iPad Air, those are their tablets. And again, you know, they've all got a spec bump and quite interesting new tablets. Also, they've done a fitness subscription. So they're moving into the sort of the fitness arena, and you'll have seen there's other people who do those sort of, you see those adverts of people on bikes and a subscription and a sort of video screen in front of them. They've done that sort of thing, which is a subscription service which gives you personalized training videos and bonus health features on your Apple Watch and all that sort of thing. So they'll charge $9.99 a month for that. So some quite interesting things. I mean, it's interesting to see Apple are moving away just from making money on selling iPhones. Oh, and by the way, no new iPhones were announced. They're actually running about a month late because of COVID. So the new iPhone 12s will be out probably next month.
I've got an issue with the iPhone. I've had an iPhone for ages, and I had one that was, you know, the press button at the bottom that was how you got in with the fingerprint and all that. And then I upgraded mainly just because of battery power. And now, Fevzi, I spend my life trying to get my phone to recognise my face. I really miss that press button. Do you think they might bring it back?
I agree. They will bring it back, although maybe not in this version, because the reason why it disappeared was that they made the screen bigger without making the phones bigger. So the bezel, the sort of the frame around the screen disappeared, and therefore there was no room for the button.
See.
Interestingly enough, on one of the new iPads, they've reintroduced what they call Touch ID as opposed to Face ID, the facial recognition, on the on-off button. The on-off button has now got a fingerprint scanner in it. So some manufacturers have done it where they've put the fingerprint scanner under the glass at the front. Others have put it at the back. Apple has so far chosen to put it on the button. So I think it will come back, and particularly because people are wearing masks.
Exactly, yes.
And it doesn't work so well.
No.
Mind you, if you're wearing gloves, you're still stuffed, quite frankly. But, yes, that should make a comeback. I prefer it as well because I use my phone to sort of touch in and out on, you know, train stations and things like that. And I use it for contactless payments. And it's much easier for me to extend my phone and sort of tap and pay than it is for me to hold it up to my face, you know. And just imagine you're going through a busy train station. You don't really want to be doing that. Why not have both? And then if you want to be really secure, you could insist on both for certain types of transactions. But I think it will come back. It disappeared by dint of the fact that they made the screens bigger, and then they couldn't work out how to put the sensor under the glass.
Well, it's a blunder. You tell them from me. It's a blunder.
So iPhone 12 or maybe iPhone 13. Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I miss the home button myself. You're right.
Okie doke. Let's move on to gadget of the week then. What have you got?
Okay, so we've got two gadgets of the week. The first is something called a gimbal. Now, a gimbal you may not be familiar with, but if you think about, you know, Hollywood filmmakers, they sometimes use things called dollies or steadicams to keep cameras steady, you know, when particularly when they're being carried, you know, to stop them lobbing all over the place. And otherwise, it just looks a bit, you know, outrageous. But what this is from a company called PNY. It's called the Mobi Gimbal Stabilizer, M-O-B-E-E, and it's a stabilizer for the camera on your smartphone. And what it enables you to do is make videos, but more smooth and fluid and all cinematic. So if you think about, you know, being able to pan and scan and all of this sort of thing, it takes out the shake in your hand, or even if you're in a car or on horseback or something like that. Perhaps don't do it whilst on horseback, but now I think about it, I don't think my insurance covers me for that. What it does is it's got three motors that compensate for any movement, what they call pitch, yaw, and roll, which are the sort of three axes of movement that you can get with a camera. So it can, so if it goes left to right, up or down, or twists, it counters it. So if you go one way because you're walking or jolting it, it goes the other way. So the camera stays steady no matter what you're doing. So you get these very fluid shots. So it grabs your camera, it's got a clamp, you hold it in your hand, and then you can pan and scan and all the rest of it. But it does more than that. And in addition to the sort of three-axis stabilization, it's got an app that does face tracking and object tracking. So it comes with a little tripod. Imagine it's like a handheld device. You've got a little tabletop tripod. Now, let's say you want to do a YouTube video of your own, and you want to, I don't know, do cooking, and you're walking up and down the kitchen. It will track you. The camera, the motors in the camera will turn the phone and track your face wherever you go. So it's like having your own camera operator. It's kind of clever. It also does slow motion, time lapse, and panoramic shots, which are great, where it just will take a picture and then the motor will move the camera along, take another one, and then take another one. And it will just go all the way up and down to make, and then stick together all the photos into one giant photograph for you.
So do you know what? This will change my world in a very weird way. My dad, bizarrely, spends his life, whenever we see him, he's on YouTube and he watches other, it's quite ridiculous, he watches other people walking like the Camino de Santiago, you know, walking along, and they've filmed it, their walk. And so you end up feeling quite ill because you're watching somebody else's jolty camera work on their phone. And so this will change all of that, won't it? I'll be able to watch people doing that smoothly over and over again with my dad.
I mean, it's quite remarkable. I mean, there's lots of other bells and whistles I won't go into now. But, I mean, we've looked at these sorts of devices before, but, you know, they often cost around £140. I first of all looked on that well-known website named after a South American river. It's just under £90. I looked on another retailer, I won't name it, they're selling it for £62.40 delivered, which makes it less than half the price of some of its competition. And that price, I've decided to give it 4 stars out of 5 because £62.40, including the tripod as well, is a real bargain. It would just make everything better. Just imagine your sort of your sort of home videos, your YouTube videos, your, you know, Skype and all that sort of thing. Yeah. Just the ability to stabilize your shots in that way. It really makes your shots look cinematic. I've been walking. I've been in lockdown, but I've been walking around the house doing, doing these cinematic shots. And my cat's a bit worried, actually, because I've been following the cat quite a lot.
As long as you haven't been on horseback and filming, that's
no,
all we can ask.
No, but actually, you know, leaving horseback aside, there's a whole genre of people who like horse riding who are using these sorts of devices now to track them, because it not only can track a face, it can track an object as well. So it can track you on horseback as you go around to your dressage and all the rest of it, whatever your practice is, even though you're on your own. As I say, it's like having a camera operator that you don't have to pay and put up with their bad jokes. And it just tracks you all over the place. So that if you go on YouTube, you will see videos of horse riders, enthusiasts who shot video of themselves, and the cameras track them around as they've ridden around the field of view.
So slightly doing my husband out of a job, but hey-ho, it's a good start. 4 stars out of 5 for the first gadget of the week. Right, we'll hear what you've got for us next, Fevzy. BBC Radio Berkshire, Kirsten O'Brien with you today, and I'm mid-tech chat with Fevzy Turkout, but we've got to get to gadget of the week number two in a bit. But first, I've just got this question, Fevzy, from Phil in Tilehurst. I've got an HP laptop. It works fine, but it doesn't have a big hard drive. I think I can access the drive and replace it, but is it quite difficult to do? Asks Phil.
Okay, so that's a good question. If the laptop is quite old, it will have the old style hard drive in it, which is the mechanical ones with a little spinning disk inside. Now, with these drives, because they've got moving parts, it's not a question of if they will fail, it is when. Some of them will go 4 or 5 years, some of them will go 10 years, but they will eventually die. And when they die, if you haven't got a backup, that's disastrous. So the first thing I'd say to you is do a complete backup of your system. There is backup software built into Microsoft Windows. Or if you want something more sophisticated, you can buy some or rent some. There's one good one called Acronis True Image. So that's really important. Even if you're not thinking of changing your drive, for everyone, think about what's on your hard drive. Think about how you'll feel if one day it wasn't suddenly not there, all your photos gone, that script you've been working on for 6 years, whatever it is, will just go. So please, please, please back it up. I deal with so many cases where people have lost really precious, irreplaceable things. Now, there's two aspects to this. You can physically replace a hard drive if you can get to it. There's that, the physical side of it. But then there's the reinstalling Windows and transferring the data off the old drive. I would say if you feel technically competent to do it, then go ahead. It's not too difficult. It'll take you a few hours if you know what you're doing. If you're not sure, and the fact that you're asking the question suggests to me that you might not be completely confident of it, then it might be worth paying someone £80 to do it for you. What I would say to you is, assuming that your drive is old, it is time to replace it with a solid-state drive, which does exactly the same thing, but has no moving parts in it. And that has a number of benefits. That means it's much, much faster, because there's no moving parts. It means it's more robust. If you ever drop your laptop, the drive is more likely to survive. It means it uses less energy, which means the battery will last longer. And because it uses less energy, it produces less heat, which means the fans don't have to fire up as often, which means that it will be quieter in operation. So it's a sort of win-win-win-win. Just get yourself... there are various brands. You could go to the... I won't mention one brand, but there are some good ones out there, and you can get a 1 terabyte drive, which is 1,000 gigabytes. You can get it for about £100 or just under nowadays.
Okay.
And that's huge, a 1 terabyte. So
I'd pay the 80 quid and get someone to do it.
Yeah, I think so, because it's also the transferring of the data, because what they have to do is take the old drive out, attach it to a little dock, attach it then via the USB cable, and then transfer the data, and then have to reconfigure all your apps. Make sure that you've got all the passcodes and product keys for any apps that you need to reinstate. But the good thing is you'll also have a spring clean, because there'll be a load of rubbish on your hard drive that, just this, cruft that's all collected over time, and it's a bit like spring cleaning. So imagine like you moved everything out of your house and then only put back into your house what you really needed, and dispose of the rest. It's like that. It's a pain, but it's like transformative, your house, because it feels like you're living in a new house, which is twice as large.
Oh, I like that imagery you've left with us
there. It really is. It's very sort of zen,
Yes.
It is. Decluttering, it makes you feel better.
Right, Phil, hopefully that has helped you out. Right, let's move on to gadget of the week number two. What have you got?
Well, gadget of the week is an SSD. So we spoke about how solid drives are faster. So this is an external one. And that's another option for your listener, by the way. They could just attach an external drive, although an internal one for them probably a better choice. So this is from a company called Crucial. It's called the X8, and it's a portable SSD. And think of something that's about the size of a half-used bar of soap. So it's fit in your shirt pocket. It's not as messy as a half-used bar of soap. It's about 4 inches by 2 inches, just under half an inch thick.
Is it like a bourbon biscuit? Can we go with that?
Well, that's quite a big biscuit, but okay, fine. For a 4-inch biscuit, that's pretty good. I'll come round to yours for tea. So But it holds, so there's various capacities, okay, so it will hold either half a terabyte, 1 terabyte, or 2 terabytes, depending on what version you buy. Now, to give you an idea, a terabyte, let's take the middle one. In a terabyte, you can store about 250,000 photos, 12 megapixel photos, so high quality photos, or about 500 hours of HD video, so about 250 feature length films in full HD quality, or 6.5 million pages of documents, which is the equivalent of 1,300 filing cabinets. So this is in something that fits in your shirt pocket, okay? So and you could have it double that if you wanted to spend a bit more. You can actually do double that. So there are other devices that do this. Why have I chosen this one? The reason is because even for an SSD, which is super fast, this one can be twice as fast as those, okay? Because of the technology it uses. If you've got a modern computer, it can be twice as fast if you've got the right sort of USB-C connector. Even if you haven't got a modern computer, it will work. And then when you upgrade your computer, then it will suddenly become twice as fast, which is great. It works with Windows. And that's the other thing I love about this. Listen, it works with Windows, Mac, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox One, so the games consoles. And I think it will work. I haven't had a chance to test it yet because the new games consoles come out in November, you know, the PlayStation 5, etc.
Yes.
It will work with an iPad Pro because it's got a USB-C connector on it. And in fact, one of the new iPads that they announced on Tuesday also has that. Or a Chromebook. So it's really got this great flexibility as well. And it just means you can carry around almost like your life on it. Every photo you've ever taken, like, could be held on there or you know. And you, let's say you attach it to an iPad and you go away and, you know, on a holiday and you're with the kids and, you know, you haven't got access to the internet everywhere, so you download a couple of movies for them to watch whilst they're in the back of the car or, you know, travelling or whatever it is. But now you can download a whole library of stuff, you know, hundreds of hours of video, so you don't, they're not going to get bored, you know, and you can just have it in HD quality. It's quite...
What if you lose that? I'm getting tense now that you lose that and it's got everything on it.
What you do is you back it up.
Okay.
So you must have... What they say is you must have 3 copies in 2 locations. Yeah? So it's not enough just to back it up onto an external drive and then keep it next to your computer because, God forbid, if there's a break-in and they steal the computer, they can steal the backup, or a fire or flood or anything. You need to back it up, and you can either do that by backing up into what they call into the cloud, onto the internet, and that has the benefit of being, you know, that's not going to go if anything catastrophic happens at home. It has a downside that because your data is stored somewhere else, so you have to encode it, or what they call encrypt it, scramble the data. But or you put it on the drive and just, you know, in an encrypted form, and then give it to a loved one. So you can attach another drive to the computer and just copy everything across, and maybe do it once a week or however often you want to. And have backups. You must always have backups because all these things will either fail or get damaged or get lost. You know, and you know, the more things we hold on there, the more devastating it is when we lose them.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy just because these things are reliable. It's very easy just to think that they'll always be like that. But you know, you can lose it or have it stolen.
You've managed to explain all of that, even for me, with my non-technical brain. How many stars are we giving that last gadget of the week?
I've given it 4.5 stars because it's also super fast and it's great value. It's not much more expensive than the ones that are half the speed.
Super.
You know, for the 1 terabyte, about £10 or £15 difference. It's not much.
Lovely stuff. Good to talk to you, Fevzi Turk up there. He's the Gadget Detective on Twitter, if you would like to check him out there. And hopefully that's given you some ideas of what's happening in the tech world.